The coach ride had been fairly uneventful. Hudson had written several letters that he had given his mother to post. She stood holding them as Hudson climbed up into his next coach. Hudson wrote letters to Amelia and Louisa. Mrs. Taylor noticed that there were no letters to Marianne Vaughn. She was glad. Perhaps Hudson was over that broken romance. However, there was a letter to Miss Sisson's. Why is he writing to her, she wondered. It's none of my business, I suppose. He can write to whoever he wants without my permission. But alarm bells rang in her head. She knew her son too well. He fell in love easily. These last few weeks before he left for China made him especially vulnerable. Hudson desperately wanted to get married, but China was more important. Few women will leave home comforts for a life of uncertainty and poverty. Hudson will have to learn to live a single life, perhaps for the rest of his life. Lord God, Mrs. Taylor prayed, comfort him, look after him. Mrs. Taylor was glad that this was not the final farewell. In a few days' time, she would see Hudson once again in Liverpool. She would say goodbye then. Smoothing down her dress before she got back into the coach, she tried to think about other things. There were arrangements to make on her return home. She thought about the small problems of cases and packing, instead of the big problems of a young son and his mammoth journey. The following morning, an extremely worn-out mother struggled out of bed to plan her day. Absent-mindedly, she brushed her silver-gray hair, vacantly staring in the mirror. Her thoughts wandered. Years had rolled by since the birth of her little son. The year 1832 had seen James Hudson Taylor come screeching into the world, uniting the names of two families, Hudson and Taylor. He united their hopes that the Lord would indeed do amazing things through the life of this little boy. But, Lord, there were times when I doubted. I doubted that he would live some nights. I worried that he would never give his life to you. It was difficult. Then there was that night when he exclaimed that he wanted to go to China. Cups flying, tea everywhere. What a shock it was to think back to what I had said 12 years past. I am ready now to give myself, my child, and my children to you. Then the very thought of Hudson going to China was so ridiculous. I could have laughed were it not for this quiet whisper in my heart. Set apart unto the Lord. Rising from the dressing table, she splashed cold water on her face. She rummaged in the drawer of her bedside cabinet and pulled out her spectacles. Sitting on the edge of the bed with a dozing husband still beneath the sheet, she murmured, I will reread some of these verses in Exodus and Numbers. Lord, he is yours and not mine anymore. As she leafed through the familiar Bible verses, the firm, gentle arm of her husband reached around and hugged his anxious wife. Husband and wife, between them, rededicated their son to the Lord. The Docklands at Liverpool were a hive of activity. Hudson and his parents were now reunited, and Hudson's London meetings had gone well. He was ready to set sail for the Orient. His mother was not so ready to let him. Though Amelia and Louisa remained at home, other friends and family were in Liverpool to see the young Hudson away on his voyage. They all met up at the Owen Hotel to say their farewells. The whole of Liverpool seemed to lurch and heave with travelers and Dockland traffic, coaches and carriages taking merchants from the Docklands to the city center, battled with carts stacked high with wares and goods to send to the Orient. The Dumfries was getting ready to sail. Mr. Taylor checked with the port authorities to find out when the final boarding was.